everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dose of Wanani, the podcast. It is me, your host, your girl, your internet friend, Wanani. And I'm super excited about today's episode because I am joined by someone very amazing who I have known for so many years but has not known me because I have watched her and I have heard her and I have seen her even in the creative industry, the music industry, and just coming up to where she is now. So without saying her name, I'm going to just describe her a little bit. We're going to play a game and see if you guys can figure out who this is just before I say her name. So she is a national award-winning gospel singer and songwriter who a lot of us probably first knew through the group Exploit 29 that she was a part of. And she has since gone solo, I want to say, in her music career. And she owns a magazine that is known as New Era Youth Magazine. She's worked with Vodafone and is also a founder of the amazing Wow Woman. I'm sure that gives it away, and we all know who I'm talking about. But her bio also shares that she helps women step into their wholeness, wellness, and wealth through curated events and digital platforms so that they can know and fulfill God's purpose for their lives. So without further ado, I'm joined today by the lovely and very, very kind Mutale Kapaso. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the podcast.
Wow, so humbling. Thank you so much, Wanani, for having me. I'm so excited to be here. You're doing very well, and I consider it a privilege to be chatting with you this afternoon.
Thank you.
It's afternoon where I am.
Yes, it is very much afternoon here as well in the Saka. So, guys, today this is who I'm with. You are actually the first person I am speaking to other than myself on this podcast. Oh. So, yeah.
Oh my goodness me, that's amazing. I pray that, you know, the Lord just flourishes whatever it is that you believe he's placed in your heart. And I believe that he who started this great work will see it to a great completion. I pray for increase. I pray that you feature amazing people, more amazing than myself. And that will just really, you know, propel you and help you, as well as the different people that are following and keeping up with the conversations that you will have.
Thank you so much. Amen. I receive every single one of those things that have been mentioned. So yeah, I'd say very kind, because I remember I first met Mutale at, I think I was or at Tambo Airport. Yeah, flying back from a conference, still at the airport, said hi, didn't say much from there, then spoke more in depth once we landed in the Saka. And she was just so, so kind, and I've never forgotten that. And I said, you know what, I'm going to shoot my shot. I am going to shoot my shot because, yeah. So I appreciate your kindness on that day and just taking time to
indulge me. And you are equally very kind too. So easy to talk to. And your crew was just so much fun.
Thank you.
Thank you for being mutually engaging and kind.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So we're going to just jump right into it. I have prepared some things that I would love to speak to you about, mostly revolving around purpose, around identity, which are things that I believe you will be well-versed to just speak on and be able to help me out even in this journey as I'm navigating life, as well as everyone else who is listening in. But before we go right into it, could you just tell us briefly about you, the things that you don't share so much with people?
What do people think they know about me, but maybe they don't because I've not shared? Okay, maybe I'll say I've never seen a live snake before. Despite growing up with my grandmother who would take us to the farm and fields, every time I hear that Jolokauko, I'll run. I hate the idea of snakes, to be honest. The other thing is I love Vinkovala. That's my favorite if you give me Ishima with Vinkubala, I'll finish, like, I don't know how many lamps of Ishima Vinkubala is my thing. That's, for those who don't know what that is, that's like dried caterpillars. And you know what my daughter wants? When they at her school, actually, was when she was going to school in South Africa, and they asked them to carry something authentic, like an authentic dish from where they come from. I prepared Vinkubala for her. And then she took them to school, and she says all the little kids were terrified and saying that your mom couldn't wait for the little caterpillar to become a beautiful butterfly. Yeah, something people might not know about me. Yeah.
Okay. I love that. I would have never guessed that you've never seen a snake before. That is hard to fathom. Now, as someone that's seen a snake, but I'm with
35
you.
35 years on earth.
I know, never right? Seen a snake.
Like I've made a covenant with my eyes.
Exactly. To never lay my eyes on a snake.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. And also, the Mopani Mems, poor kids, they were traumatized. They said, why? And these butterflies, and these being given a chance to be butterflies. But I love them as well. I actually do enjoy Vinkubala, but I enjoy them more as a snack. Yeah, definitely to just like nibble and yeah. Okay, that's great. I would have never guessed any of those two things. So thanks for sharing that for the first time here. But let's get into the conversation on purpose. Knowing that you're doing as many things as you are doing right now, you have Wild Woman going on, you work with Vodafone, you've been in a music group, you have your own music career, you've been a part of and managed different magazines. That sounds like a lot, and a lot of journeys that you've had to be on individually for each of those things to flourish as they did. So have you always known the path that you were to take in life? Have you always known that, okay, this is where I want to end up, this is what I want to do, or this is what I'm supposed to do? Because also part of Wild Woman and what you do is helping women find, to know and fulfill their God-given purpose. So for yourself, have you always known, what has the journey of you finding your purpose looked like?
A loaded question. And it's very interesting. Apart from being, you know, like you talked about the professional and ministry side, I also have, I'm married. I have a husband. We've been married this year. We'll be married for 13 years in October this year, but was currently, I'll say 12 years. And we have three children. And I think that the aspect of purpose, why are we here? Sometimes when we're growing up, especially when we're younger, we think, okay, my purpose has to do with, you know, at a certain phase of my life, I will manifest my purpose when I'm a wife or when I have children, because you really relate to your existence with the person that you spend the rest of your life with, or, you know, the lives that you will be impacting as you, you know, as you grow older, like your children. And purpose is such it's become a word that how would I describe it? It's a question that everyone wants an answer for. It's a deep question that even when you're doing what you think you were created for, you still ask yourself to say, Lord, is this it? Is this all? Is there more? You know, and you keep growing at different things and aspiring for different things. But for me, what I've come to just be content with when it comes to purpose now, especially after living a very busy, I'll say my life up until this point, I think my life has been a very busy one from as far back as I can remember. I was 14 years old, I got saved. I was so passionate about ministry. I got into active ministry at 14. So that question of who am I, why am I here, really, I wanted clarity as far back as that time, almost what, 20 years ago, about 21 years ago. So I've always wanted that clarity of why am I here. And I'm so grateful that I got saved young, because there's no other place to know who you are than from the one who created you. the one, your source, the one that gave you your identity, the one that even thought about you before you even thought about yourself, before you were conscious of self, he was already conscious of you. So for me, I think that starting from him, that is where we find our identity. And most times we think we are what we do for God. And initially, I used to really think that my purpose has everything to do with what I'm doing for God. And I realized that we are not what we do for God. We are who we are in Him already. And with God, He already finishes the work before it even gets started. If you can't be content in who Christ has made you be by His finished work in God, then there's nothing you can ever do that will satisfy you, or that will, nothing will make you better or more worthy. You know what I mean? I'm speaking this out of performance, because I'm one person who, if you know me, if you've known me from back in the day, I am very performance driven, targets, numbers. That's my thing. I mean, even when I was given the privilege to take on, as manager, championing the formulation and execution of the Vodafone go-to-market strategy for the youth market, you know, I was just driven by numbers. I want to give you more than what you're anticipating. I'm driven like that. And so, because of that, and I'm grateful that it works well in the, you know, in the corporate world, and also, you know, because of that performance, I was able to replicate the same strategy in different markets, Uganda, Cameroon, and Ghana. But I will come back to saying that we are performance driven, but that is not who we are. Like, our achievements, our numbers, our even the lives, you know, that maybe we are set to impact, even through Wow Woman, our events, we've done close to 20 events. We are not all that. We are still, when it comes to who we are, our purpose, we are created in God, for God, and in God is love. We're created for love. You know, we're created to love God. We're created to love each other. At the end of the day, if we are not fulfilling that call to love and be loved by God and each other, whatever else that we do for me is useless. So, when it comes to finding purpose for me, my purpose that I've come to, you know, just accept and be content with, is I am created in God for love, to love God, to love myself, and to love other people. Everything else I do is for my own personal growth, great, but everything else I do is just an add-on, and it adds nothing to the essence of who I truly, truly am, and that is someone that loves God and loves people. Yeah.
Wow, I absolutely love that. You've said quite a number of things actually that are so profound and I could build up on, but especially that you said we are who we are in Him, like already He is who fulfills us, right? Like everything that we are and everything that we are to be is found in God. So you touched on being performance driven and focusing on numbers, which is definitely something that a lot of us do, which I do as well. I can be very, we should have been 25 people on this thing, but we only had 10 people. So how do you get out of...
I cried. My team would laugh. Like, the times when, like, I always want to hear my events are sold out. The events are sold out because out of the 20 events we've done as well, we sold out 14 events. So those other 6 events, when you hear they're not sold out, you're like, oh, because it's...
Exactly.
I hear you.
But then how do you move out of the mindset? Of course, you want everything you do to do well, right? We want everything to, I mean, yeah. But then how do you move out of a mindset where you are so affected by how things perform in terms of like statistics and numbers and whatever, into moving to a mindset that's just like, okay, I've done what God has called me to do with this, and the people who should have been impacted by this have been impacted, and leave it at that. Yeah.
Okay. I think for me, a shift in perspective has really helped me, because coming from so let me give you a bit of a background. I grew up without my parents. My parents died when I was young. My father died when I was 4, my mother when I was 10. And for me, what looked like a future and a hope was a performance driven. So because of the absence of my parents, I felt like I had to live a certain type of life in order for me to have access to love. Like, you know, when your parents are not there, then you're maybe, let me just say, for me, I was privileged. Let me qualify that. I was privileged because my grandmother took me in, amazing woman. She loves me, like she's my best friend, even up to today. However, when I was growing up, I felt that because I felt like she was doing me a favor, especially because she was my mom's stepmom. And out of her kindness, she brought me up. And she's the one that actually took me to the house of God. She's the one that helped me understand the importance of God in my life. Because of that, I felt like I had to be the best child in the house. Like, my grandmother would sometimes would even tease up to this, even up to this day, sometimes they would tease to say her favorite of every, all the children that she's looking after was me, because I rarely did the wrong thing or missed the mark. I had to be precise. I had to be the good girl. I had to do things by the book. And I also took that even in my Christian life. Like, I had to do my best to live that life. If you know my friends, the ones that would know me, I am one who, when my friends are gossiping or talking about up to this day, they know that they won't get any gossip out of me.
Yeah.
Or I would push the wait. Like, for me, one has to wait until they get married to have sex. And that was my lifestyle. Like, I won't have sex with any man, any guy, any boyfriend, any fiance until whoever it is that marries me. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think God has called us to a higher standard of godliness. And for that, I'm grateful. However, the problem for me was that I equated acceptance with performance. I felt you deserve certain things because you've done certain things. And so even when I was saved, it was very difficult. Sometimes I'm saved. It was very difficult to even sometimes embrace. Like, if my friend falls short, or I remember once a friend of mine whom I loved so deeply got pregnant, and I just couldn't understand how. You know what I mean? And I was so disappointed. I cried like, you know, my other friends would laugh now when they look at me and says, do you remember how you cried? And then I kept asking, how did this happen? How did you allow, like, how, what happened? How, like, I was trying to really understand how that could happen. How did you lose your guard like that? You know what I mean? And yet we're human, people make mistakes. You know, but because this helps, that's how passionate I was. And so then I found myself always working. Let me just put it this way, always working for the acceptance. And you can never work enough. You know what I mean? You can never perform enough. You can never, even when it comes to God, that's why Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He met all requirements. In himself, he was fully God. And you have to be fully God and fully human in order for you to satisfy the requirements of righteousness and holiness before God, you know. And whatever else you do for God, you do out of the love you have for him, not because you want him to accept you. And that's the difference. So it took me a while to get that right. And that's the reason why, for me, that shift in perspective was very important. And then I started to also learn to rest and to relax and to be at peace. And even at times when we don't hit those numbers, you know, I'm like, okay, what was the most important thing? Set realistic goals. Because sometimes I just liked the unprecedented. This has never happened before.
you know, people have never reached these numbers. Let's reach those numbers, you know. And yet you're not paying attention to the environment that your team is working in order for them to do the unprecedented. And also, I understand that sometimes you're called to shift narratives, right? But you need to remember what held people back from achieving that which was, you know, not done before. There were things that were standing in people's way. So just the mere fact that you're able to break through and do it is should give you enough, should motivate you enough or cause you to appreciate your efforts enough that you're able to just do that which has not really been done before. But sometimes you find you want to do the unprecedented, you want to hit the highest numbers that you've never hit before, and you just sometimes are unrealistic because maybe you like I said, you're equating performance with acceptance and love and all that. So you have to be very careful and you have to shift perspective. And you also have to understand that no matter what you do, you're already loved, you're already accepted.
Yes, I love that. No matter what you do, you are already loved and accepted. Ish. I relate so much to that because I think also part of what adds to people being like this or being so performance driven is like for me growing up, you know, you've always been like the A student, and then out of that, because when you do well, you get compliments or people say all these things about you. And so now that becomes what drives you to getting things done. It's like, I must always outdo whatever happened the last time so that I can get acceptance and affirmation from people. But yeah, to understand that, you know, you're already loved and have a shift in perspective and like, okay, yeah, it would be great if, you know, 100 people showed up for this. But even if 75 do, you know, if everything is for the one, you know, we do everything to reach that one. And so,
yeah. And I think Jesus knew that these people, I need to remind them that it's about that one. I would go out for that one. And that reminder for me really, really, like it brings back the right perspective that it's not about you pursuing the masses, right? But you find if you focus on that one and the quality of that one, you will eventually get to more if you prioritize the one. And sometimes the one is actually you. If you prioritize yourself, if you take care of yourself, if you spend time, you know, availing yourself in God's presence, reflecting and reading on his word, worshiping him, giving of yourself as that sacrifice, then you find that God will do so much with you as that one.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And as you were talking, you spoke about different things in terms of where you were grounded, like the core things, you know, having found God at a young age and then having set standards. Like you said, we're called to a higher standard. So you spoke about how your thing was no sex before marriage. So a lot of things, these things can be considered identity things. Like this is what we stand on. These are our core values. These are, you know, things that we believe in. So having being who you are and having experienced as much as you've experienced, being in different spaces in the industry, having interacted with the people you've interacted with, authenticity is a big part of us like creating our brands and being who we are. It requires for us to be authentic. So how have you stayed and how did you stay throughout your journey authentic to yourself in terms of maintaining the standards that you had set, especially being in the industry that you're in, you know, going in with, say, for example, no sex before marriage, even now is like, what are you talking about? You know, so how was it, how easy was it, or how are you able to, you know, stick to your core, you know, the things that you valued, things that you, that made you, you throughout this time?
I think for me, God's presence, like, I think that if you're sometimes more fixated, I'll go back to this, just this thought. If you're more fixated on God's plans, like we're always like excited about, I know the plans you have for me, plans to prosper me, plans to give me a hope and a future. Sometimes we're so fixated on God's plans that we are so, we're so busy with how do I get this done? How do I do A, B, C, D? And you forget that the place where you're supposed to be, the place where you're supposed to be becoming who he wants you to be, is in his presence, because he created us when he said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. It means that our identity as image is only possible in the presence of his being, because you can't be an image without the object. Mm. So in you being who you are authentically, if we talk about authenticity, it's about being in God's presence. And I think being in his presence, I'm reminded of who I am as I look at who he is. And so many times when I forget who I am, you know, like, I don't know if you watched The Lion King. I love that moment when Simba was running away and then met Rafiki, and then he went and he just had this moment where he went through the motions and went to the water and he saw his father remind him and say, Simba, remember who you are.
Yeah.
And in the father's image that he saw himself now and be like, wow. And for me, that also reminds me of how it is that many times life happens, like it happened to Simba, and he was afraid. Out of fear, he isolated himself, he ran away, and he had to be reminded of who he was in the sight and in the presence of that, his father's image. So we need to have that all the time. And I think every day, like the Bible says, the word of God is a mirror. When you go away, you forget how you look like. So you have to every day look at yourself in the truth of his word, which is living and active. Remind yourself who you are. Look at yourself in his presence as you worship him, as you exalt him. You'll be able to remember who you are. And when you go out there, your values, your personality, which stems from your values, will be intact because you're authentic. Authenticity for me is about remembering more than anything. You find that even with your culture, if you lose touch with your relatives or even just the practices, the activities, the traditions and stuff like that, you easily forget. You know, and then you become whatever it is that you're paying attention to or looking at or feeding your mind with, right? So our responsibility in being authentic is like what Jesus said, abide, remain, you know. So that's what I have to always do. And it's a discipline. It's deliberate. It's a discipline. Every morning I have to have my time. You know, if I miss my morning, there should be at least an hour or two, sometimes even three, where I'm just abiding. I'm listening. I'm praying. I'm reading his word. That's for me how I remain authentic to what it is that I believe.
Yeah. Remain in me. I love that. And I love that you bring that up because, quite frankly, lately, that's something I've been struggling with. You know, like just sticking to or committing to my time for prayer or my time to read the word. And like, I really want to, but then I don't know, somehow the day is gone. And now it's like, okay, I'll try it again tomorrow. And then it's gone. But then understanding, like you putting it in that way, it makes the importance, of course, it's important to abide in God, but the effects of that are even much more than I perhaps thought, you know, because if my identity is found in Christ, then if I abide and remain in God, then it becomes easier to stay authentic. So I love that you've mentioned that. The last question I'm going to ask is with regards to building Wow Woman, of course, you and your team, and just for it, like it's gotten to a point where everyone knows and they know, oh, it's a Wow Woman thing. Like we know what's up, you know? So for it to have grown even to where it is and it really being a household name, really, I know there's no way it has been a walk in the park or it has been like roses and rainbows and, you know, but like it's gotten to a point. I mean, we've had Travis Green, Phil Thompson, by the way, last year's like Thanksgiving was amazing. I had a blast, you know, and that's, you know, being able to witness that and seeing everything grow to that point, what would you have to say to someone like me, for example, who has big dreams and who sees myself, like when I see people like you, or I see people like Mpumile Dwaba, I'm like, I want to build, you know, be a part of something like that. So what would you say to someone who has dreams that seemingly seem too big, you know, for them to achieve?
I'm just like, I always tell my friends when they come with big dreams, I'm like, I think you've come to the wrong person, because I'll just tell you, jump, go for it, do it, you can do this, you know. I think that we serve a God who does the impossible. And I think because we're in a dispensation where, you know, Christ must be lifted and glorified, and you know, it's aligned with worship and praise. It just to be a part of that movement that like just pushes the doors and the gates and the floodgates, and just be like, let's praise God, let's remove the barriers, remove, you know, like some people will be saying international artists is so difficult, or maybe it's expensive and whatnot, but just having the faith and saying, God, let's do this, like let's bring tongues from different nations to just come in and raise an altar of praise and worship. And not only do it in Zambia, we managed to also get it done here in South Africa. We were in Zimbabwe. So it's, for me, I just think that when it says that, you know, like when we talk, even when we talk about take the limits of God, you know, enlarge your territory, you know, it's really about you also just taking a leap of faith and just jumping, knowing that God will cut you. It's not easy, because sometimes you like doing the unprecedented, like I said, doing something that you don't have a template for, you really find yourself, you know, hitting the barriers that kept others from, you know, pushing through. And you have to first push through, and that sometimes comes with, you know, you being bruised, or you being wounded, or you being hurt. But at the end of the day, we are just vessels, you know, we do our parts, and then God will also bring other people to do the same, inspire other people to learn from us, and maybe even, in fact, most oftentimes even do better, because they've learned from, you know, how it was done, now gonna do it better, you know.
Yeah.
So now there's even more reason why you can do it, because you've seen how it can be done, and maybe, you know, what not to do. I see myself as a model of possibility, to be honest. Like, it's possible, you can do it, you too can do it. I don't have any special thing, you know, going on, like just faith, and anybody can believe and have faith. And sometimes you might even find you're actually in a more advantageous place than I was when I was getting to do it. The only thing is, you need to be resolved within you and believe that God will help you. And the beauty about dreaming big is because you also know that this can't be done by myself, it has to take God to do it. So even with Wow Women, prayer is a strong pillar that has taken us through the highs and the lows of you know, this journey. And we maintain prayer like no matter what. So that's, I think, for me, if you're looking to do this, it can be done. You can even do it better. And yeah, if you want advice, if you want to reach out, you know, consultancy, I do consultancy for events now. So if you want to know, you know, where to find what, or what, you know, where to go, what to do, you can reach out. So, yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah. Thank you. That is so amazing. It can be done. We just take the leap and God will catch us. And I also love that you talked about prayer.
Jump. Everything. Jump, you'll catch you.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. And truly, you know, you talked about how you look at yourself as an example of possibility. And I know I do see you in that way, and other people do, which is why, once again, thank you so much for being here, even as our time having this conversation has flown for some strange reason.
Yeah, but... I had no idea. holding myself back, saying, girl, you are taking too much time doing the talking.
No, I mean, we called you here to talk and just get everything that we can get out of you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. I'm very hopeful that this will not be the last time. I think, as you've spoken, there's like more things that have come up that I'm like, I'd like to like dig into this and talk about this more. So I'm very sure that we'll have you back again. But once again, thank you so much. You've shared a lot of valuable stuff for me and everybody else listening. And I just pray for continuous growth and just expansion, even for you and in every single thing that you do. Thank you so much,
Wanani. More grace also to you. And thank you for having me. God bless your ministry and your labor of love. Much love.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone, as well, for tuning in and listening. If you think this episode was great, please share it with your friend, your sister, your mom, your dad, your auntie, every person, because everyone needs to hear everything that has been said on purpose and identity, on faith. And be sure to follow Mutale everywhere. I will link all her details in the description. And don't forget, follow the podcast as well on Instagram at Dose of Wanani. We'll be back with another episode. And who knows who you're going to see next. Thank you so much for joining. Bye.